I call this meeting of the Committee on Public Safety, Finance, and Policy to order. We do have a quorum present. And as always, before we get to our agenda, we don't have a lot of people in the room, but if anyone comes in, everyone today must be seated when they're in the hearing room. There's no standing or sitting in the walkways or aisles. If you need accommodation, please let staff know. Signs aren't permitted in the hearing room or at the testifiers table. Clapping and other disruptions are not allowed. We need approval of the March 26, 2024 minutes. And Representative Mueller, may I have that motion, please?
That is my motion. I do move that we accept the minutes from March 26.
All right. Representative Mueller moves approval of the minutes for March 26, 2024. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes for March 26, 2024 are approved. Today on our agenda, we have two bills that were previously heard and vetted on March 21st. Both House File 2609 and House File 3757 were laid over as we awaited the fiscal notes on those bills. Because both bills came back with no cost, we're bringing them back up today to take action today. However, I was made aware that people may not actually understand what that means when we're laying something over in order to request a fiscal note and who gets notice of that and how that process works. And so I thought before we actually move to the bills and because we actually have time on our agenda for this, we could have Mr. Walls, the fiscal analyst, explain that process to the committee and more especially to any members of the public who may not understand that. Mr. Walls.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. When bills are introduced and referred to committees, the fiscal analysts generally are watching the bills that get sent to their committees and reviewing them to see if they believe they will have a fiscal impact. If they do think that there is the potential for a fiscal impact, we request a fiscal note, and I believe the authors at that time are sent an email that a fiscal note has been requested on their bill. Bills can move from committee to committee without a fiscal note at times. That's generally allowed, but currently the Ways and Means Committee does not want a bill coming to the committee without a fiscal note that has a potential fiscal impact. So they generally sit in the committees until that fiscal note has been completed. When the fiscal notes are completed, the author gets an email that the fiscal note is complete. I, as the requester, would get one. And also, when you are entering a fiscal note request, the committee that is requesting it or the committee that the fiscal analyst is staffing lists the committee that they're requesting that fiscal note on behalf of. And we have the ability to put on a distribution list other people. And so, for example, in this committee, if a fiscal note is requested on behalf of this committee by me, Ellen is sent a copy when the fiscal note is complete as the committee administrator, as well as the majority and minority research leads, so that at least each caucus researcher has a copy of every fiscal note that is completed on behalf of this committee. And so when the bills that come before the committee, we try to have the completed fiscal notes in everyone's packets, but they also should be going to the researchers, and they use them to put information in the caucus briefs that you receive before committee. And I don't know if that is sort of how the information you were looking for, if there's more information than
that. It is, Mr. Walls. Thank you so much. I think that's helpful. Did any members have any questions about that process? I know we're familiar with it, but yeah, Chair Beckerfin.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. And just as long as we're educating people, the fiscal impact that we're concerned with as the legislature is the state impact. So there might be costs to local governments or other entities, but just the thing we're looking at in our committees is impact on the state budget.
Thank you. Thank you also for that clarification. Any other comments or questions? Lead about me.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. Question, when the bill's amended, is there a revised estimate from fiscal that comes out?
Another good question, Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, Representative Novotny. So that all depends on if the amendment is believed to have a fiscal impact. And so if there's a bill within committee that is amended but perhaps laid on the table or for laid over for further consideration or inclusion in an omnibus bill. If an amendment is thought to have a fiscal impact, I will request a fiscal note on, we call it a 1UE and an unofficial engrossment, and we will get an update on that. If it's engrossed fully and goes to another committee, we will also put in a fiscal note request, and that follows the same procedure where the same set of people will get notified if an amended note is requested and completed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Oh, all right. Thanks so much for that. We sometimes speak in things here that people on the outside world, we talk about jackets and notes and things like that, and we know what we're talking about, but others don't, so I think it's a good reminder sometimes to just slow down and explain those things. All right, so the first bill that we have up today is House File 2609. This is Representative Berg's bill. Again, this bill received a full hearing on March 21st, where we took testimony and we adopted the DE1 amendment. That amendment was posted for this hearing. Today, we're bringing the bill back up to act on it after the fiscal note came back with zero cost. I will move to place House File 2609 as amended on the General Register. But before we do that, we do have an A1 amendment that was filed. So, Representative Novotny, how would you like to proceed with the A1 amendment?
I'd like to add this to the bill, and you're going to have to clarify on that. Move to reconsider. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you are first making a motion to reconsider the DE1 amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, Representative Novotny moves to reconsider adoption of the DE1 amendment to House File 2609. Any discussion on that? Chair Pinto.
Madam Chair, just consistent with what we were talking about before about informing the public, I don't know if there's anything we want to say about kind of why it's necessary to reconsider. I'm not sure if Lee Novotny or the chair wants to say that, but perhaps we did and I just missed it, but thanks.
Sure. I mean, I'll defer to Mr. Johnson to explain that, why we have to move to reconsider. That's
Thank
a good
you,
point. Yep. Again, we're doing things that may not be clear to everybody. So go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, members, so typically the process that's followed is that a bill is placed before a committee with some sort of motion to refer it somewhere or hear it. Once the bill is before the committee, then any amendments are moved. When there is a DE or delete everything amendment, that amendment is usually moved, and then any amendments to that are moved. In this situation, 2609 was moved before the committee. The DE1 amendment was then moved and adopted. Since it's been adopted, if there's any desire to change the DE1 amendment, the committee has to effectively unadopt it, so it has to move to reconsider adoption of that. Once the bill, if the committee reconsiders adoption of it, then other amendments to the DE1 would be in order.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. Any discussion to the motion to reconsider the DE? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Now, Representative Novotny, would you like to move and explain the A1 amendment to the DE1 amendment?
Chair Mohler, the amendment that I'm submitting simply removes the language from Section 2 where the discussion of triggers and what a binary trigger would be considered. As I explained in the discussion at committee meetings 2 weeks ago, I still have very serious concerns about the exact or actually the unspecific language that is mentioned in regards to release of a trigger. I know that we've received different opinions from people. I go back to the original statement from the BCA expert that was here, and I've gone back and looked at her testimony, and she specifically states that release of the trigger is considered when the trigger is fully off the trigger, and that is what is considered a release. I think we have plenty of time left in this session that we could adopt language that would be very specific so that we do not have an unspecific term that could be interpreted by some prosecutors to be inclusive of firearms that were not meant to be included. And as I've expressed my fear is if we don't do this right, this will be back in court and this will be problems. We've got two cases right now in the state on something as specific as where a firearm needs to be marked if it's personally manufactured, because no one got specific language in the bill when they did it. We looked at the SRO bill from last year that took probably thousands of hours of people time to get it fixed, because one person said in the hearing last year that's not what it applies to. When it came time for the bill to be enforced, we had different opinions from the county attorney's office and the attorney general's office, all because it wasn't worked out and specific language that everyone agreed upon was there. We've got time, if it's the will of the majority to push this through, you've got time to get specific language so that we don't jeopardize all firearms, modern firearms. We would still, with my amendment, move forward with the tracking of the cases, the statistical tracking of the cases. We would still have the enhancements for making straw purchases for persons that are prohibited. And we still have two points that really need to be addressed. Without having that vagueness that I think is going to come back to be a real problem, we still got almost 2 months of session left. That if you want to move forward with that binary language, you know, obviously you can. If we move forward with the part of the bill that we agree on, we could get that done. And so that's the reason for my motion, Chair.
All right, thank you for that explanation. And I am going to recommend a no vote for a number of reasons. First, I agree with you that we definitely want to get the language right, and I am more than willing, and I know the author of the bill is more than willing to engage in those discussions. I wish the amendment today offered some clarity or some clarifying language that you request, as opposed to absolutely eliminating this from the bill, because that's what this does. The amendment makes binary triggers essentially, you know, we're making them illegal in this bill, and it would make the binary triggers, the kind that were used in Burnsville, the kind that was used in Fargo, it would make those lawful. And I just want to reiterate again the importance of including that we prohibit binary triggers in Minnesota. We had a good discussion of that before, but I think it's worth addressing the couple of letters that we have in our packet of testimony on this topic. First is the BCA letter that does explain the difference between what I think your concern is regarding certain types of handguns and a binary trigger. And as the BCA explains how those two things work, but also explains that it effectively doubles the rate of fire. Their letter also explains that our current statutes don't ban binary triggers in Minnesota, which is why we want to close the loophole by making sure they are unlawful. I also wanted to point out the letter that's in the packets opposed to our bill from Franklin Armory. This is the company that sold the AR-15 style gun with a binary trigger that killed Minnesota first responders. This is the Nevada company that sold that device that was deadly in our state. And there's a lot I could say about this letter, but I think that the BCA letter really explains some of the flaws that are mentioned in this particular letter. Maybe it would be useful, I know that Superintendent Evans is here today, and I think it would be useful if he is willing to come down and again explain the difference between the binary triggers that we want to make sure are illegal as this bill moves forward versus a Glock or other type of handgun and the mechanisms used that I know you're concerned about, and we want to make sure we get that right as well. Welcome back to the committee, Superintendent. Please introduce yourself, and if you could explain that difference, that would be helpful.
Good morning, Chair Mueller and members of the committee. My name for the record is Drew Evans. I'm the superintendent of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I certainly share everybody's concern with making sure that the language is clear. Certainly this would create another category of a particular additions, most often the firearms that would now be illegal under our law. You know, when we looked at this particular statute in relation to the case that you're referring to, you know, there certainly could be an argument that they were banned to begin with last year in some of the legislation you passed. However, as we got very technical in getting into the language, it was determined from our perspective that there would certainly be arguments that it was also not banned based on the last law. In this particular instance that we're talking about, the clear concern to our law enforcement partners is the increased rate of fire that can be done when such a trigger is utilized. We looked at this language and trying to help. Again, this is, you know, trying to provide technical support to all of you as you contemplate this. This letter was designed as to provide that technical assistance, and as you can see, it was from our Deputy Superintendent of Forensic Science Services, and examining the language was crafted with our firearms laboratory. In other words, they looked at the language that's being proposed to determine, does that language cover what they would consider a binary trigger as they're doing a forensic examination? In other words, that they would have to identify for a court if this was a particular case that was before them, so that that case could be brought in a court of law. Their perspective is it is, as drafted, that they would be able to utilize that to say a particular firearm is a binary trigger. In particular, that the what makes it the binary trigger, and I understand your contemplation here as you're working through that, is that it fires one cartridge casing, meaning a bullet is fired through the gun upon pull of the trigger, and upon the release, it fires another one. I understood and thought through the concerns that have been raised, and, you know, a Glock weapon, I certainly wouldn't want to see them banned. I'm sitting with one on my hip right now as I testify before you. It's what our agency carries, and we do need to make sure that it doesn't contemplate that. They do not believe that the language that you have before you would implicate a Glock firearm as an example, nor would it implicate other types of firearms that are commonly used as a drafted, but certainly, you know, we're here for technical assistance and don't have an opinion on if you added additional language, but we think the definition as is covers that fire upon, and in particular the language before that increases the rate of fire in a trigger activator definition would, as drafted, then one pull and then upon release fires two rounds would fit the definition on trigger activator that would increase the rate of fire.
Thank you for being here. And before you leave, I want to just open it up and see if anybody has any questions for you.
Well, I just want to address something that Superintendent Evans said about the language that was passed last year is even confusing. I found during my research that even the one of the major online retailers of firearms parts believes, probably, I think is the word they use, that Minnesota law already blocks binary triggers. And I say that only as an example of they don't even know, reading the law that we passed last year, where we're at. I don't want that same ambiguity going forward. So that's why I wish we could take the important part with the straw purchaser, do the binary trigger as a separate action. That's just my wish, or my that would be my perfect world, Chair.
Yeah, and you know, I think this bill, leaving it in here, actually provides that clarity if there is uncertainty about whether they're legal or not. And I will say that the manufacturers certainly think they're still lawful to be sold here in Minnesota. So any other questions for Superintendent? All right, further discussions. Thank you so much. Further discussions to the amendment. Chair Beckerfin.
Thank you, Chair. And I would oppose the amendment as well. I think the language as written is clear enough on its face. You know, I think the thing, legislative intent is important, but courts don't get to legislative intent unless it's not clear on its face. And I think this language is clear enough on its face, but even if you think that it isn't, removing it completely from the bill doesn't actually address the underlying problem that we're trying to address here. So hope that conversations can continue if there is clearer way to draft the provision, that would be a different discussion, but I think removing it completely is unhelpful in what we're trying to do to keep people safe. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to Commissioner Evans.
All right. Do we have other member discussion on the amendment? All right. And before I send it to closing remarks, I'll just reiterate again my willingness to continue to work on the language with you. So go ahead, Representative Navani.
I just ask for your votes, and I believe my position is well-founded, and I can defend what I say, but ask for your vote, Chair. Thank you.
All right. So Representative Novotny moves the A1 amendment to the DE1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. All right. So now we are back to the underlying DE1 amendment. I will move the DE1 amendment. Any discussion to that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. All right. Any further discussion on House File 2609 as amended? Oh, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I thought I'd save this for the underlying bill as opposed to prolonging the conversation regarding the amendment. But my suggestion as you move forward would be to take a look at that letter from the BCA. If the language regarding binary triggers was as clear on its face as we're saying, then I don't think it would require this letter to specify the delineation between what the language says on its face and what a Glock pistol actually does and how it functions. So there's some good language there that gets into the details of rearward movement of the trigger only and then requiring a release of rearward pressure and some degree of forward travel of the trigger to ready the firearm to discharge a subsequent cartridge. That type of specificity, if it could be incorporated into amended language, I think would address Lee Navani's concern. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. And again, more than willing to work on language, as I've said repeatedly, and the reason why we have this letter, we think the language is clear, but there were questions asked, and so out of an abundance of clarity and caution, we have this letter in our packets, but again, certainly open to further discussions on this to make sure that we get it right. Any further discussion? All right. I then renew the motion that House – oh, sorry, Lee Novotny? No? I renew the motion and place House File 2609 as amended on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. All right, then the next bill we have on today's agenda is House File 3757. It is Minority Leader Damas' bill. This bill was also heard on March 21st and was fully vetted. Again, we came back with a fiscal note with no cost. I will move to place House File 3757 on the General Register. Any discussion from members on this bill? All right, is that a yes? Lee Novotny.
Recommend good bill, recommend a green vote.
All right, thank you. I renew the motion and to place House File 3757 on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. And members, that concludes today's agenda. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.